Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. Oh, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right now, the National Hockey League and National Hockey League Players Association do not look as though they are going to announce the identity of the hub cities until they've got the entire return to play protocol and a new CBA all agreed to, at least pending player approval. So there is a real possibility it could be all Canadian hubs, that is Toronto and Edmonton. It's a very fluid situation, minute to minute, hour to hour, that is the case.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. That's Bob McKenzie from TSN. And he later reported this morning that it looks like things are kind of coming together, that the Players Association was on late. A call late with the NHL, and they seem to be pretty set on Edmonton and Toronto, and they seem to be making progress on these agreements. Ty Anderson covers hockey for the 98.5 The Sports Hub website. Mr. Ty Anderson. Hello, sir. How are you?
What's going on?
All right. So do you believe things are moving along? Were you ever nervous that this wasn't going to happen?
I was nervous that it wasn't going to happen if they stuck with Vegas, because Vegas has been just a complete nightmare over the last month, especially when you looked at the numbers, too, of the testing and the positive cases, that you saw that 60% of the cases were involving people aged 20 to 49. I mean, that's the entire NHL. That wasn't going to work for them, especially once the hotel workers and the restaurant employees, they started coming up positive as well. So it was kind of like, okay, Vegas, if they were as determined to go to Vegas as it seemed, I thought this was doomed. But going to Canada, I think that makes the most sense right now, especially you look at the numbers in Edmonton. I'm all on board with Canada now. Just stay away from the U.S., honestly.
Now, go ahead, Rich.
Well, we were talking this morning about the original reluctance of Canada to open things up for the NHL. I know that, you know, finally it seems like they've kind of stepped back a little bit. But, I mean, the European Union isn't letting people from America fly over there right now. Do you foresee any kind of hesitancy as to having the NHL be completely in Canada, their postseason, if they indeed pick Edmonton and Toronto as the two cities?
No, I think that you just look at the raw data, right? I mean, Edmonton had 60,000 tests in June. They had less than 500 cases. So you got to feel pretty good about that. And I think a lot of these players that are in Europe now are kind of getting together and trying to get charter flights back to the United States just to kind of bypass that. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. And with Canada, with what they were requesting, the 14-day quarantine, I think that's out the window now if the NHL is going there, because the NHL said from the start that that wasn't going to work for them. So I think that all the parties involved here have found a way to sort of work around this. Now it's the European Union's turn to sort of figure it out. But I don't foresee that being a huge issue for the NHL. I mean, these guys, there's a little bit of hesitation to play, but I think they understand that the bonuses are going to be worth it, the concessions that the league is going to make with the Olympics, it's all going to be worth it for them.
What is the CBA thing they were hammering out? Because, I mean, obviously, if it's about money, there was no issue with the NBA. There was an issue with baseball. Like, what were the things that they were hammering out? And do you think that once they hammer it out, there's going to be any kind of pushback from the players?
Well, contracts ended today. If we were going by the true league standards, everyone's contract ended today. So for example, if you stuck with that, Torey Krug is a free agent, you know, and so they had to find a way to work around that and sort of extend their contracts. And one of the concessions made was that bonuses were paid out as normal. So the Bruins, for example, cut a check today to, I believe, seven different players for a total of $7.1 million in signing bonuses that are due on July 1st. So I think that was one of the things they had to move around. So financials, and then again with the players deciding to come back after 4 months off, you're talking about, okay, what are we going to get out of this? And I think the Olympics were a big part of that.
Now, what's the deal with the Olympics?
Well, now they're going to have involvement in 2022 and 2026. Which was not the plan. We all know that they didn't go to South Korea for the 2018 games. So the players are going to be back. It's going to be NHL players again in the next two Olympics. This, according to Pierre LeBrun, this is one of the newest details sort of leaking out of this, which is kind of what you want to see, I think, if you're a hockey fan. I listen, seeing Randonado was fun, but I want to see the best NHL players, you know, representing USA, Russia, Canada and whatnot.
How much are the players and how many players are over at Warrior and what are they doing over there?
So right now it seems like there's groups of 12, both goalies, both Tuukka and Halak are there. Still waiting on a few more players. Haven't seen Pastrnak yet, any of the photos or any of the videos released. Nick Ritchie still in Canada. Joakim Nordstrom came back home this week. Or came back to Boston this week. So the group is getting bigger and bigger, but it's not the full assortment just yet. I don't believe McAvoy's in town either. So there's a few guys that are still kind of trickling in here as we go. But July 10th is still the date that they're targeting for the move into phase three.
Okay, so just because they have no real dates other than like that one that you said that starts phase three. Okay, so phase three is all of the players together, right?
Yeah, that will be the start of a 30-man training camp, and that will be last for about 3 weeks. And then if that goes off without a problem, then you're going to move into game action in the hub cities, probably August 1st, August 2nd, maybe a few days in there for travel. But it's going to be a quick turnaround. I mean, they're going to have a three-week training camp and then go right to games.
Okay, now I know that this isn't something that would get you arrested, but the governor yesterday just announced a 14-day quarantine if you come in from anywhere outside of New England, basically New England or New York. Like if you're in the Northeast, you're fine. But if you come from anywhere else, he is saying you need a 14-day quarantine. These other Bruins, they're obviously, I don't think that they would just like fly in the face of that and go out and you know what I mean? Like the timelines are just so, they waited too damn long to get all this stuff done. But don't you think that that would affect the team if they're all returning, that they would have to wait to practice for another 2 weeks once they got here now?
Well, they're all going to break the law. I think if we have to just accept that's going to happen. It's just going to happen. They're going to be the bad boys of the NHL now. They're going to break all the rules. But no, I think that's what, I mean, it's going to have to be sort of a wink and a nudge here, you know, I think to sort of say, okay, well, they've been here for 14 days, even though we know they haven't been, because the NHL, again, they're on this timeline where they have to get these guys in this sort of accelerated training camp here. So I think you're going to see some rule breaking at the local level, as long as they're following NHL rules. I think that's going to be the agreement here from the league and the local governments and whatnot, because I think that nobody wants to be the bad guy here and they understand the value of sports. You know, I think that's sort of the weird thing about this entire process has been that local governments have been willing to bend because they understand what sports mean for just society as a whole.
Okay, so how confident are you now? Because, I mean, just yesterday on the show, we were talking about the one thing that you could say about the NHL is that Vegas was a lock. I mean, it's been reported, oh, well, you know, the other city will figure it out. And now all of a sudden, you know, for COVID reasons and what else, that's not a lock anymore. It's not officially out, but it seems to be, you know, possibly Edmonton. How confident are you now that this is going to get done? It seems one more thing of weird news after the next.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know what to believe anymore. I was convinced that it was Columbus and Las Vegas, just based on what everyone was saying, what you were hearing, is that made the most sense. And then Columbus went down, and now Vegas is going down for the count. So I'm confident that if they move it to Canada, it's going to go off, and it's going to be fine. I think that, for me, the big test was they had that stretch of about 10 days ago now where They had 11 positive tests since they started. The Lightning had a closer facility. There was the outbreak involving the Coyotes players and Austin Matthews all in Arizona. And I went, oh, here we go. This is going to be sort of the downfall. Since then, they've only had 4 more positive tests, which, again, you do the math here. You got 31 teams all participating in these group activities. That's a pretty good number, in my opinion. So I think that they're doing everything correctly here so far. But I think, again, moving it to Canada will be the biggest boom for the NHL because Nevada's just a nightmare right now. And I think some of these local places, again, Florida in particular, I mean, you just can't set up shop there right now. So get these players out of there, move them up to the hub cities, and I think you're going to be fine.
All right, Ty Anderson, you can read his coverage of the NHL that looks like it's coming back over there at CBSSports.com. We thank you so much for the time,
sir.
That's not
a website anymore. You can't go there. You got to go to
98.5thesportshub.com. I don't know.
It's all right.
I'm a little out of it. All right. 98.5thesportshub.com. All right. Thanks, Ty. All right. We will be right back.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray, I need your help for a second.
What's up, buddy?
I need to see if this is something that only happens in movies because it's almost a movie cliche that I see all the time. Anytime there's a movie about gambling or there's a movie about poker or anything like that, like Rounders was on TV the other day. Rounders is a great movie. Yep. Rounders is one of those that, as our friend Jerry Thornton says, you get Shawshanked by when you're flipping around and Rounders is on. It stops. You watch the rest of Rounders. You let it finish.
Yep.
But there's just like in that movie and in many movies where there's someone who's a gambler, there's always the scene where the guy cannot pay his bet or pay his debt. And there's a goon or somebody that is sent out to come and hit their knees or kick their ass. Joe Murray, as somebody who has dabbled in the gambling world for as long as you have, is that something that you've either seen or you know really happens? Somebody gets their ass kicked because they can't pay a debt.
So I can confirm that it has happened, but I will tell you now what happens now is you add interest to it. So you don't want to hurt somebody because they need to go to work. They need to pay you. So what you do is you set dates, and if they don't pay you, you charge interest. That's just exactly – that's a, you know, you charge a little bit of juice and a couple of points. That's how it goes.
So when you say it does happen, when have you heard of this happening? Situation you know of.
I know that. So, all right. I know that there was a time where someone didn't pay their debt and took off. So, you know, you search, you know, their house, their wife's house, their friend's house.
Hey. How much money are we talking?
A couple thousand bucks, you know.
That's enough to piss
almost
you off
almost
enough.
10 yeah. G. Almost 10 G's.
Well, 10 grand is substantial. That's substantial.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this
you
is
see
you.
They,
that's
not me. Not me. Not me.
You had nothing you to do hunt? With this.
I've never no. But all I can tell you is that there are ways, man. There are ways. And the biggest thing now is, especially if you're betting online, IP addresses, man. You can find out where someone logs in the most. You can track all those locations. So if you're betting online these days and you ditch on somebody, they're going to find you. They just go into an IP address. They'll find your address. Okay, they can find out all the addresses you have ever logged in from.
Okay. Go back to you're saying that you knew of a situation. This is one that you have firsthand knowledge of. You are not part of it. I will the disclaimer.
Yes.
You were not part of
not
this.
Not part of this.
Somebody you know owed somebody like about $10,000,
yes.
And they skipped town.
They skipped town, so the people that I know, they logged into the old the addresses to see where they have ever logged in from, and they searched those locations and they found that person at one of those locations.
And How then
do you
what
do
happened?
That? Could I do
well,
that?
Well, I don't know if you can.
Okay.
But the worst thing is you never want to tell your wife or your girlfriend about this stuff. Like, that's the worst part of it. So, like, if they know and you're on the run, it's like that you're already screwed. You know what I mean? And then they come to find you. It's like, man, why'd you run off from us? It's always, hey, man, if you can't pay a debt, be honest. Hey, okay, man, so, I don't have the money.
So what happened when they found this guy? Whose house was he at?
He was at a random location. Had some of the money. And then there was a little bit of this thing they call a payment program.
And what is that?
That is pay me every Friday, and we're adding interest until it is paid.
Okay. Now was this person with other, like, family members where he could have gotten embarrassed by them? Because I would think that would almost be one of the worst things.
Let's just say, like, maybe, like, a mistress.
Oh. Ooh. A gumar.
Do you hold on to that and say, if you don't pay me, maybe this situation might not be as hidden to certain people who don't want to.
Yes, and they're already in trouble with the girlfriend or wife anyway. So, because you go to the house and say, hey, where's the guy? He's not there. And then, you know. But, yeah, it happens. But nowadays, though, it's all about, hey, man, like, if you don't, we're just going to charge interest. That's just. Okay.
Where do you find their VPN?
There's ways. I don't have that access or knowledge. But I know a guy, you know.
You know a dude that would do that?
Yeah.
Have you ever been on the other side of that?
What if they refuse payment? What if they, like, if you find them and they refuse payment?
It never happens. The book always makes its money.
Always.
You'll always get your money back.
Have you ever been on the other side of that? Has someone ever thought you were stiffing them for cash? Yeah. Have you ever made a bet that was over your head?
No. You just do payment plans, man. All right, man, I'll give you this much this week, that week, and you're just honest.
Let's go to Phil on line two. He's got something to say about this. Phil, what's up, man?
My stepfather was a person who collected for folks that didn't live up to their gambling debt. Usually, it would be a stern warning and, you know, the weekly payment plan, as he mentioned earlier. And then once he didn't live up to the payment plan, then it would be he would just come and physically shake down every dollar that you had on you, make you go get whatever you could get. My first car, in fact. My very first car was the product of a person that owned a car lot that owed a little too much money. So
it's like how Joe's I mean, that happened.
Well, no, it happened on the Sopranos. Do you remember the Sopranos? Remember the AJ was like dating some girl or whatever, and they're like, hey, here's a new car. Oh no, Meadow. They gave Meadow a new car, but it just happened to be her friend's car because her father couldn't pay off the gambling debts who owned the outdoor store.
My wife's friend married this guy, and she found out that he had $100,000 in gambling debt and that he had to take out loans. And so he had all these credit cards and loan debt. Yeah. And, Mile, you got to be quiet, buddy. Okay. All right. And he had taken out all these credit cards. Needless to say, they got divorced. But that's something to find out when you first get married, that you have found out that your husband's $100,000 in gambling debt.
But I'll tell you that, like, the new wave now is just everyone's doing it online. You know what I mean? Like, the days of, hey, man, let me put 50 on the Pats or whatever. Like, those days are over of just taking, like, bets online, in person and stuff like that. It's just those days are over, if you ask.
Okay, so I knew a guy who was in his band was in the same rehearsal space as ours. But he was notorious for, like, people knew that the way that he made money on the side is he worked for a guy that they would send him out and have him do things to people's places when they did something really bad. Yeah. Nobody asked any questions as to why he was doing it, but one thing that he was known for was setting people's cars on fire. Mm-hmm. And so what would you have to do in order to have somebody set your car on fire? Like, how bad would it have to be?
I don't know, but I do know this for a fact. I spent years in the automotive business. And I have seen people show up to the dealership looking for people and threatening to, like, you know, do something to the cars and stuff like that.
What do you mean?
There have been people who work at the dealership that owed money that never paid.
Oh, really?
Knew they worked there, so they came there to destroy the vehicles.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, that's nice coming to your place of business.
Yeah. Steve on line one. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, guys. Sorry. Hey. So this is kind of a real quick story. So, I know somebody that was involved in a few different, local books and basically made exorbitant bets, didn't turn out in their favor. and then just decided they weren't going to pay, period. And the excuse, one of the funniest excuses I'd ever heard was, I found God. It's against my religion. I'm not going to pay.
And well, you have to accept that. I mean, if you're, I mean, you don't want to go against the word of God.
I mean, oh, yeah, exactly.
I think there's some sort of law where you can't hurt somebody who says that they found God, I believe.
Yeah, there's many laws on the books. Yeah, that doesn't sound like something that's going to work. That seems like a plea of a desperate man. But, Joe, you don't know anyone who's been desperate.
I don't. And, again, I think those days are over. Like, you know, the stuff we see in movies and all. Like Rocky Balboa, right? Isn't that how he got started? He was a... You know, that's what he did. He went, you know, people owed money, he'd show up, and that's why Mickey didn't like him, you know, because of all that stuff. But those days are over, man. If you don't pay up, yeah, the worst thing you can do is tell, you know, mess up your home or your livelihood or your job. Like, right. You don't want to interrupt any of that.
So it's more on the level now with the computers.
It's more on the level. Plus, it's your reputation, right? Like if you want to bet and the book shuts you off, where else are you going to bet? What other book's going to take you? You know what I mean? And if they do, they're going to charge interest on you.
I don't know. Vegas Dave seems to be, you know, doing just fine.
But he doesn't bet, though. That's his thing, is that he's a service. He goes, oh, call me now, $399 a month. I'll give you the pick. The people are just stupid to go through him. Like, that's dumb people. His business model is great. I'll give him credit for that. But he's, like, legitimately scammed people, robbed them. Like, he's taken, like, Social Security numbers and literally is stolen from people. Like, that guy's a crook.
And on top of that, isn't your hit rate, you and
myself and Dan, we bet over 60%, but
that's huge.
It's great. I mean, it's very good for what we do. College football, we're like 65-70%. But the NFL is the toughest sport to bet on, without a doubt. If you're 56% or better in NFL, you're great. But there are people who bet everything, like, you know, the degenerate specials. There are people that just can't control themselves. They'll be up $1,000 and they're down $3,000 by the end of the week because they can't stop.
Let me ask you about that, because you're talking about the NFL and how tough it is to do the NFL. Is it going to be easier if the NFL ends up going along with this weird plan that we heard Pro Football talk about yesterday, that apparently a bunch of GMs are considering having teams fly to away games on the day of the game and play and come back?
I would that so hard.
That's not a 3-point spread anymore.
No, year, the Patriots play two games, one in San Diego, one in L.A., I believe, and then they play the Rams back-to-back, something to that degree, like a Sunday game and then a Thursday game. So they're going to stay out there for that week, which makes sense. But somebody comes into the Raiders, go from Vegas to New England this year. What time would they have to leave? And then show up to the game.
There's no way that's going to happen. No. The one thing they did say was that cross country, they're not going to do that. I'm talking about Miami.
There's no way they're going to do it. Because,
as I said, it's being considered. This was a report that came out yesterday. It does seem crazy. But what if the Miami game's a 4:30 game?
It's still, you can't fly in the night before. And I don't even know how much that helps. I mean, you can get the coronavirus at home just as well as you can get it in a hotel room. So I don't know how that saves anyone or helps anyone. I mean, you're still on a plane with a bunch of guys. You're still in a locker room with a bunch of guys. It seems like a completely unnecessary step that would hurt the quality of the game.
Hey, Rich, I was just informed. I'd like to share this with you. So one time somebody owed money, but they were still tweeting. And somebody who saw that they were still tweeting somehow, like, found out that they were tweeting and the whereabouts. Because, like, you know, some people just disappear, right? All of a sudden it's like, oh, they deleted their account, their Facebooks, they're this, they're that. But one day somebody we couldn't find them, but we could find them tweeting, and then boom. So you can always catch up to people. That's social media. Got to be careful of that.
How'd they find the guy?
VPNs, baby. Phone location, everything. It even had their location of where they were.
Well, that's
how do you get that?
You can actually, that's a setting on your Twitter account. I don't have mine set up.
Yeah, Fred, people can tweet and it says tweeting from, you know, the Star Market on Ring Road, you know, something like that before. And like, all right, well, that's a little specific. You know, I don't know why people do that on Facebook, too.
Yeah, but that Uncut Gems, and that's why Bovada and these other accounts, they don't pay. That's hard to, dude, if you try to cash out on Bovada, it's coming from, like, Ireland, and you'll get it in 15 weeks. Like, you know what I mean? It's, like, one of the hardest things to do. So, like I said, nowadays, the stuff you see in Uncut Gems, or like, Maury, right, from Goodfellas, like, that guy never paid a debt. You know, he had all those toupees, but he couldn't pay a debt.
And it ultimately cost him.
Right.
Ultimately cost him his life. All right, Rich, we got the stack coming up. What are we going to talk about?
Oh, we got a bunch of NBA coaches and GMs questioned as to who they believe would make the best or the first all-defensive team. And there might be a Celtic or two on there. We will let you know about that. On top of that, what is the best customer service fast food restaurant out there? Once again, those ratings have come in, and we will let you know.
All right. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
All right. I will tell you this much is that 98.5 The Sports Hub, the stack, is brought to you by, I got it right here. The stack is brought to you by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale, no down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. For more info, go to windownation.com.
You know what the best thing about anonymous coaches' polls are? They're anonymous.
So and that means anything goes. It's just the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You're not playing favorites, baby. You're just in there. You're spinning. You're shooting from the hip.
Absolutely. And The Athletic got 33 NBA coaches and assistant coaches to comment on this new anonymous NBA coaches poll. And the first category that they've released are, who are the league's best defenders? And that was ranked. They had them vote on their top five for the first team, NBA all-defensive first team, and the second team. Would you like to guess which players, according to this poll, made the top five, the NBA all-defensive first team on this
Kawhi
list?
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard is, he got the fourth most votes.
Oh, Beverly.
Patrick Beverley not in the first team.
Marcus
Patrick Beverley,
Smart.
By the way, made the second team. He made the second team. What's that, Fred?
Marcus Smart.
You are absolutely correct.
Wow.
The third most amount of votes, and by the way, only 3 points behind the top two. Rudy Gobert and Giannis Antetokounmpo tied for first place with 55 total votes. Marcus Smart with 52, right behind them, ahead of Kawhi Leonard, who had 50, and then it drops a decent amount to a certain player on the 76ers. Who would that be?
Simmons?
Ben Simmons.
Wow, a defensive player of the year on defense?
Do you hear what I'm doing, Joe? It's called dominating. Dominating the conversation.
Fred's killing you, Joe. He's killing you, Joe.
Do you consider him a who did this list?
This would be coaches, people who know.
Get out of here.
NBA coaches.
Ben Simmons
coaches.
Defense?
He's 6'10 point guard.
He's not a defensive player. Oh, my God. That's crap.
Ben Simmons is a pretty good defender.
He's not the good defender. He's not.
Really? Are you saying that?
I don't think
he is.
No, I don't.
You know what I think you're
drinking? Give me Patrick Beverley over Simmons all day.
Well, Patrick
Beverley. You know what I think you're drinking? A little bit of Haterade.
I'm with you, Fred. And I don't like Ben Simmons at all, but that sounds like a hater right there.
Yeah, he's drinking that Haterade.
He's lost money on one of those games, I can tell you that. That's what it is. Coming back, it's like.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. It could be. Could be possibly. The all-defensive second team, you said Patrick Beverley. He got the second most amount of votes for that. There's a player who absolutely, I mean, if it wasn't for such a strong forward class in the first group with Giannis and Kawhi, this guy would have been no problem. Although, is he a forward or is he a center? Who would you put on this list? Just dominant.
And this is what conference?
All defensive second team. It doesn't matter what conference. It's all around.
Is it LeBron? I don't know.
Anthony Davis. Davis. Yeah. So he got the most votes for the second team. Then it goes Patrick Beverley, Eric Bledsoe, PJ Tucker, and Bam Adebayo. I always pronounce his last name incorrectly.
I like him.
Hopefully I might have gotten it right there. But at the end of this, they said, okay, who are the up-and-comers? Who are the people that could make this list possibly in the next 1 to 2 years? And Fred, I will give you this. Jonathan Isaac was mentioned by several of the coaches. He ranks second in the NBA
in
blocks per game.
He's only,
maybe.
Healthy, he would have been first team.
Go ahead. You know who they say he plays the best defense against in this league? LeBron James. He's almost a specialist when it comes to being against him. And one opposing assistant coach said just that very sentiment right there. Deadly. You sick him against LeBron James.
You know, a lot of people that don't understand the game don't appreciate the role defense plays. And, you know, I have to put up with their jibber-jabber. Oh, Jason Tatum went for 20. Oh, yeah, well, Jonathan Isaac's dominating LeBron James defensively. Who you got? And every coach is like Jonathan Isaac. Good. Yeah. It's about knowing the subtleties of the game.
The other name that was mentioned on the up-and-comers, Jaylen Brown. He received one first-team vote, two second-team mentions, and a third-place vote for Defensive Player of the Year. He could have easily gotten my vote, one coach said. He's right there. His teammate Jason Tatum got plenty of love as well and gives the Celtics one of the best young tandems in the league. Fred, there you go. So they, you know, we're about to get out of there with the Jonathan Isaac praise, but then they stick you there with the Jason Tatum praise.
Yeah, they're on the same page defensively.
So there you go. Let's see if they can make any kind of hay here in the postseason, which starts this month. Wow, we can say that now. The NBA starts this month. Not too much longer to wait. So there was another poll that was put out amongst the people. Not some hoity-toity coaches poll. This was amongst the Diners of America, the American Customer Satisfaction Index Report, which has people rate their satisfaction with eating at a restaurant from a scale of about 79 to 100. Why they started 79, I have no idea. First, they rated full-service restaurants. This would be, you know, places like Applebee's, like chain restaurants all around the country. Who do you think received the highest customer service amongst the chain restaurants?
Bob Evans.
Bob Evans not in the top five.
Oh, well, this is nothing. Let me say, how about I give you Red Robin?
Red Robin not on here, but a different Red is. Red Lobster coming in at number five.
Oh, yeah, but that's fine dining.
How about Olive Garden?
Olive Garden number four. Very good, Joe. I went to Olive Garden within the last, like, I think I went in November, like fairly recently.
I had my first indoor eating experience yesterday at Chili's.
I love Chili's.
I used to work at Chili's, so it's not on the list.
I love Chili's. Not on the list, but I do like Chili's. I enjoy Chili's very much. No, but matter of fact, there's another one on this list that I have been to. Oh, boy. I think I went in. I might have gone in March, right before all this happened. Cracker Barrel coming in third place.
Ah, that's the racism that the people love so much.
Not anymore. You can see by the sign when you first walk in. They love everyone, no matter what race, creed, belief, or amount of teeth that you have. Texas Roadhouse comes in at number two, which I don't know if you guys have ever been to. I like Texas Roadhouse. Very good. Longhorn Steakhouse comes in at number one.
Oh, the best customer such delicious service. Steaks.
I actually like Longhorn.
It's just the finest cuts. There you go. So I've never been to a Longhorn Steakhouse. I shouldn't say anything.
Pretty good.
I used to eat there a lot. Longhorn had this thing, I believe it was Longhorn, called the Texas Tunyon, which is just like in the name itself, it says, dude, you're gonna gain weight if you eat this. Texas Tunyon was a fried onion that they just, what, they would throw cheese and they would cover it with bacon. It was like the thing that the Outback,
the Bloomin' Onion.
Yep.
Yeah, that they had. But they added even more garbage to it, the Texas Tunyon. And it was, so delicious. Now, fast food restaurants were on a different scale. They ended up ranking those. Long John Silver's not in the top five. Not in the top five.
I mean, there's Captain Stabbins. Did you just?
Fred. That came out. I said that in your headphones. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Sorry. Wrong kind of restaurant.
I don't like that.
I mean, is like Dunkin' on that list? Like do you consider Dunkin'? I don't know.
Dunkin' number five. Very good. I always have a pleasant experience at Dunkin' Donuts.
I mean, you got to give Arby's credit for its cleanliness.
Fred, number three, Arby's right. In the fast food restaurants for customer satisfaction.
I'm a Chipotle guy. So
Chipotle number two on the list.
Moe's, they say welcome to Moe's. I mean, they say it to you when you walk in. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you get $1,000.
I think that's the rule. So
I'm a sucker for that thin crust Domino's. Is that on there?
On Domino's at number four. Boom. Man, you're killing all these, Joe Murray.
Who the hell's been inside of a McDonald's or a Domino's?
Yeah, who goes inside Domino's?
That thin crust, though, oh, man.
Okay, Domino's is one of those pizzas that I hadn't had in a decade. And, like, randomly, for some reason, like, Domino's was the only place that would deliver down. This was before Uber Eats. This was, like, 5 years ago. And, I ended up saying, well, Domino's is the only place that would deliver to my place. And I got it. And I was like, dude, I don't know if I forgot how good Domino's was or whether they changed the recipe, but it was legitimately great.
Like, yeah, the thin crust is great the first couple of times you have it, and then you start to realize that it's not very good. Like the third time.
$5.99 for a pizza, I'm in.
I can't eat the regular kind. I can only eat the thin crust.
I can only do thin crust. All right, so are we missing one?
So, yeah, you got number five, Dunkin'. Number
four. It's
got to
be Chick-fil-A, right?
Chick-fil-A number one. Yeah, always number one, of course. Those guys always kill it. So it goes Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, Arby's, Domino's, Dunkin', and there you go.
I'm telling you, that you got to try that Popeye's chicken sandwich if you haven't yet.
Can you get it now? Is it
yeah, you can get it. It's very good. Very, very good.
It lives up to the hype.
I believe that it lives up to the hype, yes.
You know who's got a good fried chicken sandwich? Shake Shack. It's excellent. Mm. It's really good. They got nuggets, too. They're like real thick nuggets. Oh, they're amazing.
Do you eat chicken nuggets?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll get you. I usually steal them for my kid.
Wait,
but
you're not a nugget guy?
I just thought that the cutoff age for chicken nuggets was 12.
Oh, no, not if you're at Wendy's. Wendy's, you get nuggets instead of fries. You get those as a side.
Dude, I'll crush a 20-piece right now. Give me all the sauces that they have. I'll dunk them all.
Really?
I'm a big sauce guy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all the flavors of the world are right there.
Best sauce in existence. Out of any restaurant, any sauce, ooh, which one's the best?
I like Taco Bell, the new one that comes in the black pack, because it's muy caliente. It fuego, hot,
super hot. I would go with the barbecue sauce from Chick-fil-A. Their nugget sauces, that's probably the best.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Chick-fil-A is incredibly
overrated.
Where's
there a good ranch? I want a good ranch sauce from somebody.
You know what's good is the Papa John's butter sauce. For like until the next day when it's still like under your nose,
Fred. But that's just like saying I quit. Like you eat that butter sauce, that's just like I've given up, man. I mean, there's
but
nothing.
If it's sitting there. I mean, I don't even know where a Papa John's is, but I mean, while you're eating,
that's like
it seems
that's
like a
drinking
idea.
A box of M&Ms. Like when you go for the butter sauce, like you don't have to go for that. It's like you're making an effort.
It's sitting there. I mean, you're gonna dip it in the butter sauce.
I used to,
but
all the
worst
time,
part is it? I haven't had it in 20 years, but I mean, the best is that it just, especially if you have facial hair of any kind, it just gets lodged in there, and you will smell it for the rest of your life. It takes like a month. You can't scrub it away. It's like shame. It's just the smell of shame.
You want to hear some awesome poor people food that we used to eat growing up? Oh, and I used to love it. So my mom would say, hey, we're having artichokes tonight. I'd be like, yes. So what she would do is she would just like boil. There were seven of us. She'd just boil seven big artichokes. And then she would just melt like two sticks of butter. And she'd put the artichoke in the middle of the plate and give us a bowl of butter. And you would dip each leaf inside of the butter. And basically, you were just like, you had your own like butter spoons. Mm. That's all you were doing. Because you really got, you didn't bite the bottom of the leaf. You would kind of scrape it off with your teeth. So you were getting maybe like a tiny little taste of something green and like two sticks of butter for dinner each night.
My mom was so poor, they had mayonnaise sandwiches. The day before that my grandpa got paid, they'd have mayonnaise sandwiches.
I once watched Married with Children, and they used to make those tangwiches. And so I actually got some tang and made a tangwich back in the day.
How did it taste? Like space?
It was bad. It was not good.
No, I'm thinking it was an illustration of how the Bundys didn't have much money.
Just the Bundys used to go to the supermarket on hot days.
Huh? Oh, yeah, that's right, and they would sit in there to cool off. That's bring a lounge chair. Oh, I recall that.
I wonder what Stephen A. Smith's favorite sauce would be.
Oh, man.
Always ass. Booty juice.
Just ass sauce.
I'm a bootlegging hitman to the core. I'm a bottom feeder.
I pour the gravy down the woman's back. I just read a show about a show where Big Frieda is in. I wonder if I can find it. It's like a big show, but Big Frieda is featured in it. I'll try to find it.
Big Frieda got like a Facebook commercial recently.
Really?
Like she was on some commercial for Facebook where these people were Matter of fact, the commercials are one of the most annoying commercials ever until Big Frieda shows up. It's these people who like are in a college classroom and they're blowing kazoos, and then they all get up and they do a kazoo march, and then they smash into a house, and in the house, Big Frieda is like performing. And I'm like, all right, well, you saved this commercial from being one of the worst. But yeah, I think it's a Facebook one. It's like a Facebook gathering commercial. So good for Big Frieda getting some sort of public exposure. How about that?
You gotta love that.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.